It's here, the 2024 NOLA Gold Rugby season. New head coach Corey Brown has the boys focused on earning a spot in the playoffs, and we want you at the Gold Mine. Every home game is an event with families in mind, and after the whistle, head to the party shack, mingle with players, and collect autographs. Don't miss Major League Rugby and entertainment at an affordable price. Get your tickets now and be a part of NOLA Gold Rugby. Secure yours at NOLAGoldRugby.com.
Evan, Canty, and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
I'm worried about Bad Boys 4.
Like, oh, I'll see it immediately.
I love Will and Martin. I mean, I'm going to go see it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, we are talking about these dudes being up there in years and just, you know, rolling around the ground, shooting guns and in car chases. Y'all ain't had enough of that yet?
You could have a Bad Boys 110. I'll see it.
Unsportsmanlike. Weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
It is hour number two, brought to you by Chris's Paving. ChrisPaving.com, driveways, parking lots, overlays. Locally owned and operated. Asphalt, concrete, they are your paving contractor for the New Orleans and Bayou regions. Go to ChrisPaving.com. Our lead in hour number two is brought to you by Lakeview Massage and Therapy, and of course, Upper Cervical Family Chiropractic, a good doctor, Dr. Joshua Litt. Look forward to seeing him here soon as well. Got a lot to get into. Pels, Thunder, Game 4, and of course, your New Orleans Saints. The NFL draft has come and gone, if you can believe it.
No. So, this is probably an inaccurate statement. I think we're probably more in the need element now than we are necessarily in the must element.
That was Saints head coach Dennis Allen on Saturday. His answer to the question, did you fill all of your musts? Mr. Ross Jackson, who better to help recap all of the Saints draft picks than himself? Thank you, sir. How are you today?
Hey, buddy. Doing great. Glad to be here with you.
Thank you so much, man. I know you're busy. I know you're tired, but I don't know who else to go to because I want to get the 411 on each of these guys. Just the overall thought, though, of what the Saints did the last couple of days.
Dude, let me tell you, first of all, there's no tired in draft season whatsoever. This is the most exciting part of the year. I love this part of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So do not worry at all. It's my pleasure to be able to be here to talk about it. No, I think that, so you just want, like, kind of general thoughts on the class here?
Overall thought on, like, what you think they did, yeah, in those 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is that you saw them kind of go with a little bit of a theme. They kind of did this each day last year, too. It's where they had, you know, their theme of, like, addressing a need. Then they went with production, and then they went with versatility in the third day. I think this year you kind of went with the need, right? You addressed the must of the offensive line, or at least one spot on the offensive line. Obviously, still some work to be done there. But Taliese Fuanga is a fantastic player that's going to be able to be a plug-and-play starter for you. Then getting into day two, they went up there and they got a target that they wanted, somebody that they feel like also addresses a need, maybe a year early, but still you go up there and you get yourself a nice talent. And then day three was all about development, and I like the New Orleans Saints approach there. We saw them pick up some guys and grab some guys that are going to be able to maybe develop into larger roles, but have their own individual ways into immediate impact that are going to be, you know, some less than others, some special teams, others on their in their units, things like that. But I liked the draft and what the New Orleans Saints did in terms of betting on upside quite a bit.
You know, if I remember correctly, Friday over there at the Zurich, I asked you about that, and you said, hey, you know what? I don't mind the word project when it comes to Saturday. That's literally what you just said, right? And I'm with you, and I love hearing those guys talk to the media afterwards as well from Spencer Rattler, who says, hey, look, I want to come in and learn. You mentioned development. Bub Means, this guy, I'm going to get you to give us little tidbits on each as well. But Jalen Ford, all these guys saying, hey, I'm here to do some special teams. I'm here to help you now and develop. And I like that. So I understand what you're saying about the whole project part of, hey, these are guys, though, that they can see maybe in a year or two really contribute, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, like day three, like that's the way that it should be. And I think we saw that really across the NFL. I mean, if you really look at the draft, there were guys that we expected to go in the sixth, seventh rounds, going in the fourth round. There were, you know, especially that big run on tight ends that happened early on in day three. Then you saw, you know, guys that were maybe a little bit more polished and maybe a little bit closer to the top of their development end up falling down in the draft. Like, one of the biggest draft day surprises was probably USC wide receiver Brendan Rice. I've talked to some folks around on why that might be the case. He was a guy that I really like looked at in this draft class. And some of it is like, where's, you know, is he already kind of where he's going to be at the NFL level? Instead, you're seeing a lot of folks that are betting on, you know, the ability to be able to get somebody from maybe just below there or just above their floor with right. a whole lot of ceiling room left. And I think that's what you saw the Saints do as well.
All right. One of the reasons I wanted you on, sir, because I know you can give it to us as best as anybody in a very brief yet very informative sort of way. So let's go through these draft picks here, because I know Saints fans, they see the names, it pops up on the timelines, they might read what you tweet and text, but what did they get from each of these players? We talked about Fuagon on Friday. Friday mm-hmm. comes, it's Kool-Aid McKinstry here. What kind of player is he, and why were the Saints excited about him?
Yeah, he's a perfect scheme fit for them. I think that's the biggest takeaway. He's coming from that Nick Saban defense. They run a lot of press man, probably the most press man in the country for a collegiate defense. He's left on an island a lot to be the one guy over there. And then now he comes to New Orleans, where he'll get to be in a press man, Dennis Allen defense. That, you know, is going to be right up his alley in terms of what it is that he does. So I think he's just a great scheme fit. He allows you to get a year early on what's going to end up being a need. We'll see what the future of Marshon Lattimore looks like. Paul Sanudibo is in a contract year, so the need will be there eventually, sooner or later. So I think is what you're getting with a guy like Kool-Aid that has that alpha mentality when it comes to a cornerback.
You just addressed it right there. That was going to be the logical follow-up. Does that mean Marshon Lattimore is gone?
I think that it's one of those things where, like, you're still open to looking at the possibilities, and you're still going to pick up the phone when a team calls, but I don't think you're going to be in any hurry. I think if anything does happen, it'll be after June 1 that you can defer some of that salary cap and stuff right. like that. But at the same time, you might just say, okay, we've got four really, really good cornerbacks going into 2024. No issue there. And then you're ready for 2025 should there be any type of departures in the 2025 offseason.
Good point. All right, so they don't go into the third or fourth round. And here we go. First pick in the fifth round is quarterback Spencer Rattler. I'm sure, like your phone, it generated a lot of attention when the Saints went there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big time. I know a lot of people were wondering, okay, well, now how soon does he hit the field? I don't think there's any hurry when it comes to all that. And look, Rattler is the one that's got a little bit of a reputation, one that effectively, that honestly gave me pause a little bit during the pre-draft process, just with, you know, comments around his, you know, attitude, his demeanor, things like that. But then getting to talk to his offensive coordinator, his head coach, getting to talk to him, you can kind of see the progress he's made maturity-wise. So for him, I think his floor in the NFL as a backup quarterback, that's really good. That's really, really good, because that means his ceiling is much higher. And so you're betting on upside when it comes to a guy like this, another alpha mentality type of guy that I think comes in. And, you know, he becomes an option for you in your time to develop with this new offensive system, which I think he's going to fit into really, right. really well. As a guy that could potentially be an option for you in the post-Derek Carr days.
And I know there's a lot of people say, man, look at that quarterback room. They got so many quarterbacks in there. Almost breaking down two different type of groups, right? When you look at Mond and Peterman, Ross, those guys have experience in the system. There were almost coaches on the field to help Derek in the offense. Hayner and Rattler are the guys you see if they can develop to be your backup and if mm-hmm. not eventual starter 2-3 years from now. Is that how I should look at it?
That's exactly right. And I wouldn't expect, you know, those veterans to hang on the roster for longer than is necessary either. I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, they've got five, you know, quarterbacks on their roster and they're not addressing any other needs. That doesn't keep them from addressing any other needs. They could cut any of those guys anytime they want, and they can move on and continue to build their roster. It doesn't impact them in a negative way, but it does help, just as you said, to kind of translate that system over to the guys that are already in the building.
There's a lot of excitement on Bub Means in there.
Yeah, I mean, God, he's just one of those guys that has done a little bit of everything. I mean, over 700 receiving yards, he led the team in receiving yards in a year where there was really, really bad quarterback play over in Pittsburgh. I mean, their quarterback, their starting quarterback that transferred over from Boston College, I think transitioned to tight end by the time the year was over. Quarterback play was not great for them. But he was a guy that led in receptions, receiving yards, played on the inside and on the outside, could take snaps. It took snaps as a starting gunner, 4.4 speed, and just the attitude, man. Like, just a guy that is just ready to put his head down and get to work. and is just so happy to have the opportunity. Has been in Louisiana before, played at UL, and so I just think that he's a really good fit for this team too, as a fourth or fifth wide receiver. Right. I don't know that he's going to push for the X receiver spot, but that doesn't mean that he won't find a way to carve his way into contributing sooner rather than later. And who knows, he could be a better pro than he was in college as well, considering the opportunities he'll get here versus the stuff he had to deal with over at Pittsburgh.
Ed Ross, bottom line is this: when you can play multiple positions, you're going to give yourself an opportunity to carve yourself a niche somewhere on that team. And that's the thing that I took out of listening to him when he talked with you guys. It was the fact I can play everything. And when you have a player that can do that, it helps you. And when you can do special teams, but you can play all the different positions, all it takes is somebody that, you know, goes down with an injury, you can step in and do that. We kind of saw that a little bit with A.T. Perry last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it's another big body too, right? 6'1", 212 pounds, big stocky dude. Jumped over only almost 30. I think it was 39, 38 inches in his vertical. He's got game, man. And he's one of those guys that, like you mentioned, late in the season could potentially pick up some of that momentum and to build into his second year, just like A.T. Perry did.
What about Christian Boyd, man? I look, same school from Trevor Penning, and some Saints fans are like, that's all I need to know. That's wrong, though, right? I mean, different side of the ball here. Tell me about Christian Boyd.
Yeah, Christian Boyd was one of my favorite defensive tackles and probably my favorite defensive tackle fit for New Orleans after Johnny Newton out of Illinois. He's a guy that comes in at 6'2", 325-ish pounds, big-time run stopper in the middle of a defense, can be your one tech over the gap in between the guard and center, and also has a lot of that athleticism that maybe you don't expect for a guy his size. So he's got the pass rushing upside as well. Saints didn't make progress as a run defense the way they wanted to last year, finished 22nd in the NFL last year when it came to run defense and yardage allowed. And so I think that Christian Boyd's a guy that's going to be able to come in and immediately help contribute to bringing that rank, that number down, and therefore that ranking down as well.
Such a nice guy when you said they didn't make progress. Oh, I just would have said they were terrible. You see, that's why you're such a nice guy. One of my favorite, and I love this now with technology, you can always capture it, and I love how the teams embrace it and send it. But Josiah Ezrim, his reaction to the phone call, you know, seventh round, put his family in. Man, have we all not been there, Ross, when you're so excited? You're trying to turn up the TV. They turned the TV off.
And they turned it off. I know.
It was hilarious. They're like, turn it on. Turn it back on right before he goes up to the Saints. But his reaction, and you didn't realize how big he was until he got up from that chair, and then he started manhandling people around him and his family. But, man, I'm going to play that here in a bit. It was so awesome to see and hear. I love his enthusiasm, man.
Yeah, that's why that's actually the clip I had in my mind when I was telling you earlier, like, look, there's no tired in the NFL draft season because it's my favorite time of year. It's moments like that that make this whole weekend, that make everything, like, it's the best part of the process for me. And look, you could still feel all of that excitement when he was talking to it. He kept saying, I'm sorry. I'm so excited. I don't know what to say. All these other things. And we're like, dude, it's good. Like, this is the biggest day of your life. Like, feel that. Like, it's so awesome. And look, I mean, even from beyond the personality side, he's got real potential as a developer. This is a guy that just got drafted in the seventh round of the NFL draft, where only 250-ish players go. And he's only been playing offensive tackle for two seasons, for 2 years of his life. And he ends up getting that phone call. How cool is that? He transitioned from defensive tackle over to the offensive side of the football, has played right tackle, right guard, worked with Jari Evans at the East-West Shrine Bowl, learning a little bit of left tackle. He's one of those guys that, again, project, development, all that. But, boy, does he have the attitude that tells you, he's going to make the most of this opportunity.
And that's the perfect way. If you are going to use the word project, that's what you want, right? Do I have some tools, 100%. Some things I can work for? You heard D.A. can mention it. Practice squad member, which is not a bad thing. You're still at practice. You're still developing. You're getting that action. But I love what you just said there, because that was the one thing that stood out that D.A. said. And I love I don't know if it was a shot, but he said, he's the defensive coordinator, of course. He goes, hey, I've always thought defensive linemen are more athletic than offensive linemen.
So, his little smirk when he said that.
Too. Yeah, but that's the point, right? You have a guy whose mentality was go get ball, see ball, tackle, be physical. Yeah. Let's go. I mean, you saw it in his reaction. Let's go. Like, now, that guy's now protecting, you know, or blocking or running on them all.
Right.
And look, that could be field goal protection. That could be, you know, things of that nature, man.
Yeah, there's a lot that you can do that. Even as a guy that's a potential option as your swing tackle, like, get that get that demeanor out there leading the way for Taysom Hill. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, there's way worse things that you can do in the seventh round of an NFL draft. And so, I absolutely love that selection. It's one, you know, for a guy coming out of Eastern Kentucky that I think might fall off the conversation a little bit, but it won't fall off of ours locally because, man, he's just one of those dudes that's, like, so clearly going to be a fit once he walks into the locker room.
My guess is you have a 72-day straight breakdown of the draft because you could. You could do it.
Absolutely. We got a ton. We got a ton.
The Locked On Saints podcast. Thank you for your time. I'm going to bribe you for some lunch on Thursday. Come in. We have a lot more time, and we can take some questions. If you got anything for Ross, we'd love to do that for you as well, man, over at the deli on Thursday, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Can't wait. We got to talk Jalen Ford, too. I mean, the Texas linebacker.
I went right over him. That's true. I love the fact that he said that he kind of thinks Levante David is kind of his game. If he's anywhere near Levante David, they got to sell somebody else.
Oh, you're real.
All right, man. We'll talk about him there on Thursday. Yep. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. That's Mr. Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints. And when we come back, it is Rafael Esparza, Sports Hangover in ESPN New Orleans.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
ChrisBaiting.com. So check him out. All things that they can do over there, asphalt, concrete, you name it, they got it for you. Rafael Esparza, as always, sir, appreciate the time you give us. How are you today?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. What did you think of the draft?
No, I don't understand how Roman Reigns says he's taking the whole draft off, so I'm a little bit shocked on that. I thought Raw had a great third and fourth round pick for the draft. It's going to be interesting who Raw picks today when Monday Night Raw starts tonight.
Why do I feel like if I just would have started with what I just saw on my TV, what did you think of Caitlin Clark's second practice? You probably would have had more.
I can't believe they're recovering her practice. I saw someone writing an article about that, and all I could think was Iverson just screaming in my head. We talking about practice?
Talking about practice. Yes, absolutely.
The NFL draft, I have to admit, the crowds were unbelievable. I can't believe how many people were still standing around booing on a Saturday for a third, fourth round pick, which that guy has no chance of making the team. I'll give the NFL draft. You know what? I always make fun of the draft. I always make fun of the NFL. But I'm happy for the Detroit bar owners, the food and beverage all around that area. They probably made more money in that 4 days of NFL draft than they probably did in months or probably in a six-month span. I'm happy for the business owners. But come on, really? Booing someone that got drafted in the fourth, fifth round that's probably not going to make the team?
Hey, look at it this way. Over here in New Orleans, we cheer anything, especially undrafted rookie free agents. The Colorado State tight end, everyone loves him. You mentioned he attended Chicago 200,000 in 2015. Next year in Chicago 2016, 225,000. Philly in 2017 at 250. Dallas 200. Nashville had 600,000 in 2019. You had COVID in 2021, where you saw the commissioner in his smoking jacket on a nice leather chair. In Vegas, 300,000. 2 years ago, KC, 312. Detroit, 775,000.
Yeah, I do agree about the NFL draft. These are for the cities who know who are not going to get a Super Bowl. Go all in. Try to get the draft there. Try to get anything. Because, again, Super Bowl is what? A Sunday? You got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's 4 days. You could probably do for businesses around it the same amount of money or in your 4 days for the draft than a Super Bowl. So it's going to be in Green Bay next year. I'm thinking these cities who don't have no shot at getting a Super Bowl, go all in for the NFL draft because it can make a lot of money coming into your city.
Yeah. I mean, look, they struck it gold, right? Struck it rich by saying they was going to move it around from New York City and have cities bid on it and everything. Makes a lot of sense.
But I'll tell you this. I am hoping for snow next year in Green Bay. That'd be fantastic.
It's just, you know, they would absolutely be out there too. I mean, shirtless.
Oh, they would. They would. But can you imagine someone getting hit by a snowball because they didn't like the draft or the draft pick? That'd be fantastic.
No, that would only happen in Philly, and they didn't do that in Philly. But look, on a serious note, when it comes to wagering, I always ask you this. Combine, draft, free agency. did this money come in because of fan excitement based off of the draft picks that haven't taken a snap? Like, I'm just watching it. I'm like, I felt like Philly really did a lot in this draft. It felt like Minnesota added some nice pieces here as well into the NFC. And I'm looking at, you know, teams that were in the playoffs and just out of it. You have Atlanta with Cousins. Like, did I change, or do you see people change money-wise literally based off of 3 days?
No, I think the only thing that maybe changed is like the Bears, teams that traded for free agents to build your team around and then get that quarterback or that key player. I mean, I can't remember the last time an NFL first round draft pick quarterback had so much talent on a team, he's going there. It's not like the Bears were in last place, only had 2 wins. They played much better towards the second half. I mean, that team made a little bit more noise. I thought Pittsburgh, I don't know if it's because of their draft. I thought they drafted well. They drafted, okay, we're going to be the Pittsburgh of old. We're going to run the ball. They got offensive linemen, stuff like that. I thought theirs went a little bit maybe because of how they drafted. But, I mean, no one's going to put roll the dice because Atlanta Falcons got a quarterback that's probably as old as me pretty soon. So, no, we're not going to see that much money come in.
I love that. NBA playoffs, sir. We got a couple of games tonight, including the Pelicans taking on the Thunder. We'll get to that in a quick second. But last night, you saw what happened. As the Phoenix Suns were pieced out, they got swept by Minnesota. So, obviously, a lot of people are wondering about Frank Vogel's job. You're screaming, eh?
First of all, Frank Vogel is a champion as a coach. Mm-hmm. He's on the verge of being unemployed.
There it is. So, is he gone?
Yeah, because that's the only thing the Phoenix Suns can do. They have no space to try to trade anybody. They have horrible contracts. That's the only card that they can play to try to, unless someone's really going to go for a league minimum to come on there, stuff like that. But they are stuck with that team that they have right now. So if you're going to do something to maybe please the fan base, fire the head coach and try to get someone that they want.
$116 million tax bill next year already. Already. Yep. Haven't done anything. That's what they owe the check next year. That's pretty steep when you think about it. I saw something like with Bradley Beal, like 50, 55, and 57 million over the next 3 years.
And he scored 9 points yesterday.
Probably not good. No. And him getting off the court there after he fouled out, kind of not really giving Frank Vogel a high five when he ran past him. He kind of wondered where that's
going. Yeah, that didn't look good.
No. Is Anthony Edwards the next face of the NBA? Because he sure looks like it.
Yes. I am excited to see parity now in the Western Conference and probably in the NBA. I can't wait to see OKC and Minnesota and even Denver, even though they're the defending champs, in the Western Conference Finals. It's not the Lakers. We're not going to see the same teams, not Golden State. I mean, they didn't even make the playoffs. I am excited to see new faces and teams and players get the notification like the Ant-Man is getting. He is going to be the next face of the NBA.
He's something else, man. That press conference yesterday, we call Anthony Towns, it was just fun. You can just hear. I mean, God knows it's basketball, man. It's fun to see. The games tonight, let's go over them. Let's start with the Thunder and the Pelicans. OKC, 5.5-point favorites here. I think the sad thing about it is the Pels really haven't been competitive in games 2 and 3 after being so competitive in game 1. Do the Pels extend the series tonight?
Yeah, after game 1, I really thought they could have maybe won 1 or 2 games to make this an interesting series. Man, I've seen nothing with the team that we saw in game 1. Me and you've been texting back and forth. We're planning our vacation to Galveston to go with the Pelicans. So, no, I think OKC wins this one. And I would not be shocked if we see 5.5 or even 6. No Pelican money is coming in. I sent you a text for $10 tickets. Do I still get a free T-shirt if I get grab a $10 ticket?
Yeah, I saw that. Channel 6 tweeted they are, I'm sorry, as low as $5 tickets for tonight.
Oh, that's sad. Because people want to watch the Raw draft today. That's why no one
did. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I mean, row 13, section 310, $6. 308,
right,
row 15. Two rows closer for $5.
I think we'll get a T-shirt.
Yeah, no, you'll get a T-shirt. There's shirts on the seats right now. So, yes, for $5, you can get a Pels T-shirt and watch the game.
it stopped raining, so I'm going to walk to the arena, grab a $6 ticket, and then be home by halftime.
So you're just going in for the T-shirt?
Yes.
Isn't that a saying on a shirt? I just came for the shirt?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I might wear that on there.
6:30 tonight, TNT, Celtics in the Heat. What's interesting about this one is if Miami can somehow find a way to win this one. You mentioned the pressure on Boston all of a sudden, because it's 2-1 Boston right now.
Yeah, I like Miami plus the points. It's 10.5. I think Boston wins this one, but it's going to be a nail biter. This one might be the closest game out of three games tonight.
Really? You're not willing to say the Lakers.
If Miami plays Miami's way, yes, it could be a close game.
So Denver is 7.5-point favorite here. And look, the Lakers found the way to win there in game four. What's interesting to me, though, is at the end, right towards the end there, you saw Murray, Jamal Murray, kind of get a little calf strain there, a little bit there. And if he's not there, do the Lakers stay alive?
I do like the plus 7.5 of the Lakers tonight. I took that, but I really like two player prop bets. I like LeBron James' total points, rebounds, and assists at 40.5. And I do like the Joker to get a triple-double at even money. I have Denver winning this one. It's going to be, I think Denver wins probably like by 5-6 points, but the Lakers go home. This one's going to be interesting. I love to see that Denver can afford to lose a starter. They're such deep on their bench. I think that would be better for the bench role players to come in and maybe close this one out. But I do believe that the Lakers are going home to Galveston as well. So we can see them there while we're seeing
tomorrow's game, 76ers and Knicks. Does New York close out Philly?
Big game yesterday. I love the game. Exciting game. They close out Philly.
How good is Jalen Brunson right now?
Oof, the best free agent signing in the last decade. I can't. If you can tell for the dollar amount that they got him for in the years, someone please tell me who else is better than him right now.
It's crazy to think Dallas was like, thanks, but no thanks. Magic and Cavaliers tomorrow as well. That series is tied 2-2 going back to Cleveland.
Yeah, I like Cleveland this one. I think Cleveland will shoot the ball better at home. I think we all know the role players play better at home. I think the three ball goes in. I like Cleveland minus the 4.5.
And then the Pacers and the Bucks. Are you surprised Indiana's up 3-1 here?
No, because they'll be up. This series is up. I mean, Milwaukee's so banged up. I mean, and it's funny because I think that's what's probably going to keep Doc Rivers having a job and everyone else staying there because they can just say, hey, you know what? We didn't have the Greek. Lillard got hurt third and fourth game. That would probably save everyone's jobs.
Kind of feels like the Dallas situation from a year ago, doesn't it? Kyrie came in. Yes. It didn't have enough time to mesh. They're better this year. I almost feel like maybe that could be Milwaukee next year. But what would be interesting is you already for 2 weeks have been hearing the rumblings that either Dame or Giannis is leaving.
Yeah, I've been hearing more Dame than Giannis. I think Giannis will probably honor his contract. But both of them have their contracts are really bad. I just don't see another team. Now, I keep on saying Dame to other teams because if someone else has a bad contract, a.k.a. New Orleans, they can trade. They can go match for match, like say Dame for Bai or Dame for Zion or something like that. Then it's not that, but I just don't see another team that has that kind of a star that they can go back and forth and trade a horrible contract.
It'll be interesting to see on Friday, sir. We're going to talk a little Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, I just found out it's supposed to be bad weather on Friday and Saturday there, so I'm a little bummed. I have to redo my horse prop bets that I did yet last night because it's going to be probably muddy, but we'll see.
Rafael Esparza at VSI Doc Sports is the way to give a follow. The free daily video where he breaks down all 7th-round draft picks. I didn't know you were doing that. That was really good.
I faded the Cubs today. I like the Mets. We got
Cubs are playing Saturday. Well, man. Should I go buy some?
I know,
here?
But we got outscored Saturday and Sunday, 22-4. We're all banged up, no belly.
I saw that.
I mean, we're a little shorthanded, but I like the Mets coming out today.
My owner, Truck, who's listening right now, just all smiles. I saw him a little bit ago. He just cackled. I opened the door. He gave me something, and he just started laughing at me. So,
why is he a Boston fan?
Yes, he's a Red Sox fan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes,
well, congratulations.
He's a diehard Red Sox fan.
I didn't know that. They took 2 out of 3, Truck. Congratulations. I'm not going to bash him, but 17-0 was a butt whooping.
17-0. What was it, like 25 hits they gave up or something like that?
Yeah. It was brutal. It's funny when they have Matt Mervis, a rookie pitching in the eighth inning, because they didn't want to blow up their bullpen.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the time.
Take it easy.
Hour two of the Sports Hangover is brought to you by Chris's Paving, chrispaving.com. Our lead is the Pels/NFL Draft, which is brought to you by Lakeview Massage and Therapy and the good doctor, Dr. Josh Roulette over there at Upper Cervical Family Chiropractic. Looking forward to seeing him here real soon. When we come back, open phone lines. We'll mix in a lot of Saint sound. Trevor, I saw you called earlier in the show. If you want to call in, buddy, we'll take your phone calls on the Ruderman Can Hotline, 800-998-1003. It's a Sports Hangover in ESPN New Orleans.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
So let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation if you would like to. Feel free. I got you. Got you covered. Oh, boy. Pels Thunder. Game 4 tonight. 7:30 is your tip time on NBA TV if you'd like to go check that out. And, of course, Bally's. Willie Green yesterday after practice was asked about, well, going into tonight.
Yeah, it's definitely all cards on the table. So we'll continue to look at lineups. We'll look at mixing our defense up, you know, maybe some small, maybe adding, you know, some more shooting to the lineup. So we're definitely looking at it.
All right. Wouldn't be a bad thing. Add a little shooting to it, as they have not hit 100 points in three games against the Thunder here as well. Brandon Ingram continuing to try to find some space, trying to get into a rhythm.
Yeah, not his best game, but, you know, it wasn't because of his effort. CJ has been going out all season long. Playing, you know, really high-level basketball. This team is tough. They got, you know, big wing, big defenders on our guys. They got Holmgren down there. When you do break the paint and get into the lane, he's down there. And, you know, he's altering shots or blocking shots. And so we just have to understand this is what they do. They protect the paint. They allow you to kick the ball out to the perimeter. And when you do that over and over again, you can score. But if not, it plays right into their hands.
No doubt. This was Brandon Ingram after the game on Saturday.
Getting some open looks. Just haven't knocked them down yet. You know, it's demoralizing sometimes when they're not getting stops. Usually we feed off our defense and we come down on the offensive end and we take great shots. We've been having open shots, but, you know, we just got to find a rhythm.
And as far as how they're defending him?
Defensive team, just being together. It's being together. When somebody gets beat, they have somebody to cover up for them. They got a good rim protector and check. And the guys that can slide their feet, they keep their worst defenders on the back line. And some of their best defenders where most of our offense is. So they game plan on that.
And specifically on how they're defending him?
It's tough. Especially when you expect so much more out of yourself. But, you know, OKC, they've been game planning, trying to take me off the basketball, trying to make me play off the basketball, being physical, sending different bodies at me. And, you know, just gotta figure it out. You know, it's not going to be easy, but continue to keep going and try to figure out ways to be effective, not only scoring the basketball, but getting guys in rhythm.
The coordinator, thank you for giving us a call here on the Ruderman Can Hotline and Guest Line. How are you today, sir?
Hey, how you doing?
Listen,
G-Cat, let me ask you this. So the coach just trying to figure out at the last game, trying to change lineups. At the last game, you're all hands supposed to be on deck way beforehand when you got into the playoffs.
Hey, better late than never, coordinator.
you know what I'm saying? So that's one thing. You better get this stuff out the way. Even though they paid him, they better get another coach. Another thing, so is Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram showed me a lot those last two games. See, when I see a player that don't want the ball, he didn't even much want to touch that ball. Even the commentators on the game was watching what everybody else was watching. He didn't want the ball. He didn't want to go through. He didn't want to fight through screens. You know what? This team, they better not give him no max contract. They better do everything in their world, because they're about to break up this Phoenix stuff. Devin Booker going to be out there. They should be trying to get Devin Booker. C.J. McCollum, got to go. Also, I don't care what they're talking about. Keep shooting. This coach cannot coach. You take Jonas out the game. He's beating Chet up. Man, this fan base better start really screaming at that organization down on Airline Highway. Else we're going to keep continuing to get the same result that we're having. I used to be mad with Anthony Davis at one time. And I understand why he left now. Because you have to put people around these. I don't like the way he left and everything else. I have to call him glass maimed, everything. But you have to put the right people around players. You're not developing your young talent, not letting them. You're putting Jordan Hawkins in at the end of the game when it's garbage time. But in the regular season, you're playing them longer. What's wrong with this coaching staff? That whole staff needs to be gone. I'm out. Gus, go ahead and say whatever you want to say.
No, I'll tell you what.
I'm listening to you.
You're saying what I think a lot of people are saying. I would say this. If you were not, I would say, unfortunately, what a majority of fans feel, there wouldn't be $5 tickets for a playoff game.
Yes.
I mean,
that should be telling you something.
Right or not, there are $5 tickets for a playoff game. You know?
That's ridiculous. They're giving tickets away.
Well, look.
They had to give tickets away.
There are some things that have to be addressed and talked about in the offseason, and that's one of them. It's so crazy to see the stark contrast, because what I won't allow happen, and believe me, this is not you saying it, but I'm not going to allow, and thankfully, you haven't seen Perkins or these other guys. They're not a basketball town. No. You saw 2 years ago this city organically fall in love with this team. Which is crazy because it had nothing to do with Zion. 2 years later, you have $5 playoff tickets. 2 years later, you have fans that I kind of think that meter is on empty, the fed up sort of situation where I don't know if I can blame them. I can't sit here behind a mic or on a headset and say, shame on y'all for not being there when... You know, we went through the list out of your home games that you've lost. You've basically been down 20 points or more in all of them. Like, that's rough. And I'm just telling you, again, this is a real conversation that you're seeing. I had someone walk up to me Saturday, and for whatever reason, this person's tickets got mixed up, whatever. Had to buy tickets. And even before that, he was like, dude, $600. Like, you know, and you're going to be down 20 and not be competitive in the game. That's hard to all of a sudden then ask that person to come right back and, hey, this will be the game. You know what I mean? And I'm just saying that does get people's attentions. There's no way they don't know that there's tickets available for $5. There's no way.
Well, guys, let's look at this. How many times has Matt Ryan touched the floor and you see your other players struggling? Shooting from outside. Why? Listen to me. So hold on. Shea nice with the ball. He's bad with the basketball. Most of his shots are mid-range shots. You mean to tell me, Brandon Ingram, you're a mid-range shooter. You can't shoot over that boy with the defense, Dart, with the defense?
I was going to say this. Look, along the lines of what you're talking about, too, is something that's going to be discussed here moving forward. I'm talking about development because, you mentioned it, and it's going to be the conversation, obviously, once the season officially comes to a close. You said, go get Devin Booker now. I already saw a lot of tweets and fans saying, go get Kevin Durant. He could be made available. Phoenix has got to do something. Hear me out. I made the case in the opening segment. I don't know if that's where I want to go moving forward in the NBA because the top three teams in the West, all in-house built, all built from that situation, just... I'm going to read you this real quick before we go to the break. Propels Talk put this out there, I guess, going into the game on Saturday, I believe. Dyson Daniels, the 8th overall pick in the 2022 draft. Jordan Hawkins, 14th overall last draft, right? In 23. Have played 28. This is before game 3. Have played 28 minutes combined this postseason. 13 of those 28 came in garbage time.
Yes.
Compared to Jalen Williams, 12th overall, 75 minutes. Christian Braun, 21st overall, 48 minutes. Nikola Jovic, 27th overall, 51 minutes. There is a difference in philosophy there. I mean, you're yes. one team's playing their draft picks and developing them and using them. The other isn't.
And I've been saying that. I said they don't know how to develop players. These players should be waiting more developed than what they are. And everybody's talking about, well, I see Trey Murphy, he's developing. Yes, but guess what? Trey Murphy putting the ball on the floor is great and all, but he still barely got a mid-range. He'll go up and try to dunk every – he'll try to do the dunk, but he still don't have a mid-range also. Whenever you ever see him – Trey Murphy is 6'8" or 6'7"? He might be taller than that. Do he have a mid-range? Can he back up and post it and then create his own shot?
I hear you, Courtney. I got to hit the break. I will say this. There's going to be some very interesting conversations when it's all said and done. You know, I mean, the head coach said it. Now, I'll play the soundbite if you'd like. They haven't scored 100 points. You know?
I don't want to hear nothing Willie Green have to say. Nothing. I'm going to listen, but I really don't want. It's the same old stuff.
I hear you. Coordinator, thank you for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Jeff Fox from our sister station, KNAE, next on ESPN New Orleans.
Citizen.
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengat.
800-998-1003 on the Ruderman Can Caller and Guest Hotline each and every day around this time. Mr. Jeff Box, our sister station KANE, joins us. Jeff, as always, appreciate the time on the afternoons. How are you, sir?
Well, it is a Monday. It is the Monday of Mondays for me over here, but otherwise, looking forward to a big night of basketball, a lot of big games.
Yeah, including here at the Smoothie King Center, because you need to win it or the season's over. It's really that simple for the Pelicans. So when you look at this one, man, OKC favorites, and I don't know, what else stands out to you from this matchup here?
You know, one thing that stands out is I have no faith in the Pelicans at this point. But then again, that's when teams sometimes, when it looks like there's nothing to win for except to lose game 5, they find ways to pull games out. They're a home underdog, 4.5 points, according to ESPN Bet. The over-under, 207.5, plus 155 on the money line for the Pels, minus 185 for the Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, the Pelicans have lost 5 of their last 6 games. Last advanced to the second round in, spring of 2018, when they lost in 5 games to the Warriors. Thunder have hit the money in 57 of their last 79 games. That's plus 1960 units. Pels have hit the first half money line in 55 of their last 83 games, plus 23.8 units for what that's worth. And again, what you're looking out for the Thunder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he continues to torch the Pels. Nearly registered a double-double in the Game 3 win, scoring 24, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 4 steals, 3 postseason games. He is averaging 28.3 points, 5.7 assists, nearly 5 boards and 2 steals in 37 minutes averaging. Again, 33 points, added 5 assists. He's going to be huge, and he's also having his way against New Orleans is Jalen Williams. Second-year player scored 21 points in back-to-back games in the series. Needs just missed a double-double in Game 3. And, you know, the Pels still hoping that shooting guard C.J. McCollum can be one of those players that continue to average in double digits in the postseason. Opened the series with a 20-point assist, but he's going to have to really step it up tonight. And Brandon Ingram, you know, again, he's averaging 16.3 points, 4.7 boards, 2.3 assists, one block in average 35.7 minutes game. He's got to be better tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. And hopefully if he does get going, this offense gets going and the shots get falling, then the series gets extended. And look, the Pels are the best team in the road in the NBA this season. Maybe you can steal one on Wednesday, but got to start tonight, man. Got to start tonight. Boston and Miami. This is an interesting one tonight because it's a 2-1 series lead. I kind of get the feeling that, well, you know, if Miami wins this one, you don't think the Celtics have a little pressure at home or not? Or you think this is an easy Celtics win?
The line 10.5, not maybe easy to cover that, but boy, you certainly like the Celtics at home and with an opportunity to really put Miami in a bad spot. But it is a pivotal game four. In game three, Boston blew out the Heat 104-84. Miami hopes to bounce back, even a series at home. But again, Boston motivated to win tonight and then win at home and finish it out at home. The Celtics 15-5. In their last 20 games on the road, the Heat 5-10 against the spread in their past 15 games at home. A couple of things folks think the Celtics can cover, looking for a repeat of what happened, obviously, in Game 3. Big defensive effort for them. Multiple players stepped up on offense as well. Boston held the Heat to 41% shooting from the field, 32% shooting from three-point range. Celts also out-rebounded the Heat 43-36, 12 turnovers they forced, but only committed six themselves. Meanwhile, the Heat go as center Bam Adebayo goes. Adebayo bringing plenty of energy on both ends of the floor. He's able to dominate from mid-range, and thus far in the first round, he's logged 21.7 points and 8.3 boards per game, and he racked up 21 points in the win that they had. Guard Tyler Hero also gives them an athletic score in the perimeter. 24-year-old also has some great vision, but his best performance came in game two, again in the one victory that they had, and he needs to step it up again tonight. 10.5-point differential, I think tough for Boston to cover, but win it outright.
Yeah. Let's see what happens tonight in Denver. Do the Lakers continue? And I know Jamal Murray has that issue with the calf there. You saw him kind of pull up a little bit towards the end of game four. Lakers did get it to game five. Does it go past a game five?
Yeah, back in Denver, I don't see it going past tonight's game. 7.5-point favorite are the Nuggets. The over-under, 216.5. Money line, -295 for Denver, +235 for the Lakers. Again, obviously must win the game, but L.A. did knock off the Nuggets 119-108 on Saturday and covered that spread, obviously. Nuggets 6-3 against the spread in their last nine games. Lakers 2-7 against the spread in their past nine games against the Nuggets. Nikola Jokic in four games against the Lakers. He leads the team in scoring, 29, rebounding 15.2, 10 assists. Forward Michael Porter Jr., great offensive game plan. Jumper allows him to stretch the floor, but he'll put the ball on the deck to attack the lane. He also is big on the boards. And, you know, looking at the Lakers, obviously it goes as LeBron and Anthony go. Anthony Davis enters tonight's matchup, leading the team in points at 30.5, rebounds 15.8, blocks 1.5 in the postseason. Finished with 25 points, 23 rebounds, and 6 assists. Again, this is one where I just don't see Denver losing at home.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if you're Denver as well, especially if one of your players is ailing a bit, nothing better than to get a couple days off, right, before you have to play again. So it's kind of a big thing, especially with Minnesota having swept the Phoenix from that standpoint. Hey, Jeff, if I want to get involved in ESPN Betster, how do I do so?
Well, we encourage you to download the app, but you can also find it on a desktop. ESPN Bet, ready to take you through all the big sports moments this spring. The exclusive sports book of ESPN has it all, including exclusive offers and promotions, also from personalities Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and others. Playoff intensity, NHL and NBA, to golf. What a great weekend in New Orleans and out to the ballpark. No better time to be a sports fan. Sign up new users You get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Again, we encourage you to download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Terms and conditions apply. Check out the app for all the details. Got to be 21 or older. And once again, if you do have a gambling problem, seek some help. 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with our friends in Lake Charles at LaBerge. LaBerge Lake Charles. Appreciate their partnership. And Gus, always appreciate joining you.
Same here, sir. See you tomorrow.
You got it.
Mr. Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KANE. Quick break. We come back. It'll be hour number three. I'll give you a bunch of Saints sound here to start things off. We'll hear from Marlon Favorite. Leo Haggerty here as well, 2:15 and at 2:30. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Back.